Sometimes I have a tendency singing songs that have been sung so many times to go on autopilot, meaning that I sing the words and maybe I'm in tune, maybe I'm out of tune, but my heart is definitely out of tune. Who's ever been guilty of doing something like that? Have no idea. I mean, we know what song we just sang, but did we really sing it? The song that Brother Gary just led in, if you would turn back there to number 193. Prior to the message this afternoon, I would like to read the third verse. All the way my Savior leads me. He doesn't lead. It doesn't say all my way He leads me. It says all the way He leads me. Well, if He leads us, He leads us in His way, right? All the way my Savior leads me. Oh, the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Our text is in Genesis 35, verse 27. And Jacob came unto Isaac, his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years, or 180 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. This message may come across a little different. If you would bear with me, we're going to do as we would at any funeral and give a bit of a eulogy here and remember Isaac. Isaac, this man of God, after departing from this old sinful world, was led by his Savior and Redeemer. Being full of days, he was led unto his place of redemption, according to the work of his Savior. As we remember the events of the life of Isaac and the man himself, it would be difficult for us to eulogize him or to speak praise or recognition of him without giving higher praise and recognition to his God, the God of heaven, the God of earth, the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. Our text is very plain about this man. He was a man. The fact that he died gives us remembrance that he was a sinner. He was a man. For the wages of sin is death. We know that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, it's one thing to have a verse memorized because your pastor asked you to. But it's another thing altogether different when you're standing at a grave and you've lowered your loved one and you have that hope in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that that person has taken part of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But nonetheless, death is there. And sin is there, death being the result of sin. Our text says in verse 27 that Isaac was in Mamre. Remember the word Mamre, that place, the name itself means strength or fatness. Isaac wasn't just a man who dwelt loosely, but he was a man that dwelt in the place of fatness, the place of largeness, the place of strength, living out his days, the servant of God. It's the same land that he sojourned or wandered with his dad Abraham. That's what it says in verse 27. Please read it again. And Jacob came unto Isaac, his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. It would be a different message altogether, but still true, if we were to remember the promise that God would be with Jacob until he returned back to the land of his father, and God did indeed do that. But this place of Mamre is the same place, and the emphasis, or something that we should take special consideration of, is that he didn't just dwell in any old place. He dwelt in the place where he dwelt with his dad. You see, his dad, there was something very special about him, in that the Lord loved him as well. As he dwelt in the fatness, he dwelt in the fatness not of himself or in the fatness of his dad. He dwelt in the fatness and the strength of the promises of God. That tells us a lot about this man, Isaac. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. If you go back there, verses that we know very well or have read many times, but please read them in this context. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. That land was not Mamre. Okay? That land was not Mamre. And I will make of thee the land that his father's house was not Mamre. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He continued in that place, Abraham did, chapter 13, verses 14 through 18. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot had separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that the man that can number the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, strength, fatness, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. He worshipped God. Not in fatness of the strength, or strength of himself, did he worship himself, but he worshipped God. But that was after the separation of Lot from him. He had done this thing. If you fast forward, and I know we're spending some time on Abraham, but the more we know about Abraham and Mamre, the more we're going to know about Isaac and Mamre. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, this is before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham dwelt in Mamre. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent of the door in the heat of the day. So between verses 13 and chapter 13, and chapter where he built the altar, and chapter 18, we see that it was his common place to dwell there in Mamre. Now consider what happens in the middle, in chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 99, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Verse 5. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Verse 19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, or laughter. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget. And I will make him a great nation, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, Sarah which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Abraham received the promises of God about Isaac. And as we consider that Isaac dwelt in Mamre, we must also consider that he dwelt there remembering all that the Lord had promised his father. Not just concerning himself. You see, it's great what God has done for me, that he saved me from my sins, but my salvation is not about me. You see? When I consider the greatness of God, I shouldn't limit him to the greatness that he has done toward me. I should consider the greatness of his being, focusing on him. Right? In this promise, when God promised Abraham that he would, yes, give him a son, but all nations of the earth would be blessed, all people, all types of people, that's so much bigger than Isaac. As Isaac dwelt in Mamre, perhaps a good portion, and he was a reflective person, perhaps a good portion of his reflection was to consider the promises of God were so much bigger than he was. He's to consider there the fatness and the being of God and his strength, remembering those promises. He must have remembered what manner of man Abraham was. He knew Abraham was a human being. And no doubt Abraham must have told him what manner of man he was. An idolater, taken from a different manner of life to serve the living God. He must have made these things known to himself regularly. And we read in Joshua not long ago, Joshua 24, what manner of man this was that was called out. Joshua 24, verse 2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood of the river in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they, Terah, Abraham, and Nahor, and they served other gods. He was an idolater. Even if he was what we would call a moral man, a decent man, he was an idolater. Dwelling there and remaining there in that place where he sojourned with his dad, it was a daily reminder of the providence of God and the sovereign will of God that he had revealed himself unto such sinners. Thank God. May we all dwell in Mamre and consider the greatness of God in our own lives and his greatness toward us. Isaac was the son of Abraham of Terah, both idolaters. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. That's written in Genesis chapter 17, verse 17, and verified with chapter 21, verse 5. Sarah was 90. Both of his parents, to understand this man, Isaac, we must understand both the type of people that his parents were. Okay? So we know what the Bible says about his parents, and the summary of his parents is in the book of Hebrews, if you turn there. He was a person of faithful parents, having faithful parents. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He was an obedient man. You see, you can't be a faithful person and not be an obedient person. Those things do not go together. If a person claims to have faith, there is also obedience. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him, with the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. All the way his Savior led him. He had a father, Abraham, that was a person of faith. He had a mother, Sarah, that was a woman of faith. Verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. She was 90. And remember, and they had just had the whole incident with Hagar, so she had to overcome a lot emotionally as well. So she received, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him, God, faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead. Therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. This man had faithful parents, but children, while faith is not transferable, just because his parents were faithful people, it did not guarantee that he would be a man of faith. His brother Ishmael was not a man of faith. The Lord certainly is capable of saving the children of his children. Further, that would make them his children also. The lifestyle and pattern of living by faith was recognized and followed by Isaac. The same types of things that Abraham and Sarah did in their lives, Isaac did as well. The man Isaac. First and foremost, the greatest thing about Isaac was the purpose of God, eternally designed, was expressed to him in time. That's the greatest thing about Isaac. Again, if we're going to eulogize or praise or recognize anybody in the life of Isaac, it would be the Lord himself. It was the Lord who separated him out. You see, humanly speaking, what did Isaac do differently in being born than Ishmael did? Right? What did he do differently? All he did was be born. But the purpose of God was shown in the birth of Ishmael and in the birth of Isaac. Just the same as it was in Jacob and Esau. Right? Having neither done good or evil, God loved one and hated the other. In Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, we read about this mountain, the man Isaac, that this mountain of absolute surrender that Isaac as a young man went through with his dad, as he sojourned with his dad, as he wandered with his dad, you see what type of man he was. He was a man of faith, Isaac was. Read Genesis chapter 22. He's a man of faith. Read this through Isaac's eyes, if you would. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the mount of Moriah, and I offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham was an old man, and his son was well old enough to get away from him. You see, I'm older, but I'm not falling apart. But my young son, who's 11, if he knew that I was going to take him to a place and put a knife in his chest and burn him, it might be difficult for me to get a hold of that young man. Wouldn't it be difficult? Yeah. By faith, he knew what was going on. Abraham didn't hide it from him. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into a place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. I'm convinced Moriah is Calvary. By faith. And that's what it says in Hebrews, that he had faith that God would raise him up, even one from the dead. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took of the wood of the burnt offering and laid upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? See, Abraham had taught Isaac. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went. So they went both of them together. Isaac sojourned with his dad. He believed his dad, but most importantly, he believed God, that God would provide himself a sacrifice. That place was called Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will provide, or the Lord will see. You see, this wasn't just an isolated episode of the life of Isaac. I'm convinced that his entire life he had the attitude that the Lord would provide. Again, that's not bragging on what type of man Isaac was. That's bragging on the type of faith that God had given him. The Lord will provide. And when we're willing to submit ourselves and humble ourselves to that very fact that the Lord will provide even in our own lives, then when the time for us to go comes upon us, then we will also shout again, the Lord has provided. The Lord will provide. In chapter 23, Isaac had lost his mother when he was about 30. Look at chapter 23, if you would, in Genesis, verses 1 and 2. Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba. So she was 127. So you subtract 127 from 90 when Isaac was born, and he was 37 years old. And I don't know, while he still believed Jehovah Jireh, the Lord would provide, he still was challenged with the loss of his mother. Chapter 24, verse 67. If you read the last part of the verse, it says, whenever Isaac had met Rebekah, it says, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. But that's a good space apart. He evidently loved his mother quite a bit and had admired her in her faith, as much as he had loved his dad and admired him in his faith. Genesis chapter 24, verse 62, we see really what type of man Isaac was. Let's read these verses. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. Isaac was a man of contemplation. He was a man of meditation and prayer. He was a thoughtful man. That's verse 62. Chapter 24, verse 62. And then 63. He went out to meditate in the field. A thoughtful man. You know, you got to really admire a man as much as we can admire men, that they meditate upon the things of God. Look, if you would, in the psalm. David spoke of such things. Psalm, this first psalm, if you would. The first psalm. If he's a man of meditation, and he meditates on the things of God and the trust of God, then he's also a blessed man. Blessed, this is Psalm verse 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law, or the testimony, or the promise of the Lord, and in his law, or his testimony, or his promise doth he meditate day and night. This was a blessed man. He was a thoughtful man. He was apparently a wise man. But if that was it, then that would be a tremendous praise of him. But there's so much more to this man that we could learn from. And again, the emphasis not on Isaac, but on the God of Isaac, the fear of Isaac. Chapter 24. And verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she alighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac, and where it says, and she lighted off the camel, that means she threw herself down in obeisance. The servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's tent, Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Not only was this man a man of contemplation, meditation, and prayer, considering the promises of God, but he was a loving man. He was a compassionate man. Sometimes that's difficult for us men to realize and know. There's more to love and passion than intimacy, and that might sound strange. That might sound like a strange statement. But it's a true statement. Understanding one's partner, as we read about in the Song of Solomon, becoming one and meeting the needs of another in love, that's the type of man that Isaac was. He was a sensitive man. He was a man, and this is a strange way for a man to describe another man, but he was a man of love, of strength, and of beauty, you see. If you're painting a picture of what type of man this was, you can really see him as a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a man that had many admirable qualities. He was a humble man. Where'd you get that? Look at verse 66. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Well, guess what? He was a man that listened to his servant. Right? That takes humility, doesn't it? I don't know. When you younger people start growing up and you have bosses, you're going to run into a boss at some point that doesn't listen to people that are underneath him or her. They're arrogant. They're proud. That's why people traditionally hate their bosses, because bosses traditionally don't listen to their employees. But this man was humble. He listened. What a trait. The servant spoke of the things of God, how they had worked out in finding Rebekah, and it did nothing but please this man. He loved to hear the things of God. Isaac was a man that believed and trusted God. And when the servant of God told great things that the Lord had done, he ate it up. Boy. He was a man of integrity. He only desired Rebekah after the good report. You see, she was pretty. Very beautiful. But she was beautiful before he heard anything from the servant. But he had no desire to marry her until he heard what type of report she had. He was a man, a moral man, a man of integrity. Young men and young women, there are plenty of people out there that are pretty. But you wait and get the report on them before you fall in love with them. You see? There's a very, very wise lesson in the life of Isaac there. He was a man of reputation. Whenever the servant of the Lord had told what manner of man this was, who he was, she saw him and said, Who's that? And when he told her, then she said, Oh, you know that person I've been telling you about for hundreds of miles? That's him. And by his reputation, she threw herself on the ground. A man of reputation. He was a sinner. Again, he died. But it was admirable that he had such a reputation that the servant of God, when saying, that's him, that she would feel in such a way to make obeisance to him. He was a man that gave good advice. Look at Genesis chapter 28. A man that gave good advice. This is after Jacob rather had deceived him, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Yeah, you're blessed, but just because you're blessed doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want, he told his son. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty, El Shaddai, bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, and that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. Guess what? He sent him away. The next time he saw him was in our text. God had made him fruitful. God had made Jacob multiply. And one of the great assurances in Isaac's life was to see that God had brought his son back with the heirs of that promise. How wonderful. How wonderful. Genesis chapter 26. He received promises from God personally. Genesis chapter 26, if you would. Verses 1 through 5. A lot of things we do by faith, but a lot of things we're told straight from the Word of God. Promises. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto thy father, Abraham, thy father. And I will make thy seed multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and unto thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, that's in Genesis chapter 22, and my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. It's a man that can be admired, again, because of the grace of God in his life. Isaac was survived by two sons, Jacob and Esau. They were born in Genesis chapter 25. We may remember the account. One was a good man, but he was lost as he could be. The other was a dirt bag, beloved of God. Perhaps some of us can relate. These men are spoken of in the book of Romans, if you would, please. Romans chapter 9. We know the passage. Romans chapter 9. As often is done at funerals, when you read of the passing one, they talk about what manner of man they were, then who they were survived by. Romans chapter 9, verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Remember, Esau was a man that was cunning. He was a man of the field, a hunter. Jacob dwelt in tents, behind his mama's skirt, you could say. Isaac raised them the best that he knew how. The outcomes, of course, belong to the Lord. These two were at odds. Genesis chapter 27, verses 36 through 41. Jacob had stolen the birthright of Esau, and Esau was going to kill him. Dead. Wanted to kill him. But at the last, Jacob and Esau were with Isaac here in our text. But they had reconciled, remember, in Genesis chapter 33. Look, if you would, there. Reconciliation in Genesis 33. Verses 1 through 4. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men, and he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel. and unto the two handmaids. And he put the hands, and he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Reconciliation. They're now at his side at his death, and they're to bury him. It says in our text, verse 29, "And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him." It must have been quite a grief to know that his son Esau was a man that served and loved himself and was lost. It must have been some comfort to him, though, to see them, Jacob and Esau, together, not wanting to kill each other. That must have been some comfort to die with his house in order. You see, children of God, I have no control over if God is going to save my children or not. I have no control if He's going to save my daughters or not. I have no control over that. There's a measure of sweetness, though, to know that they do dwell in unity together, that they can get along together. That's the best that I can do, is have them try to get along. And it must have been received well for Isaac to see his children together in harmony before he died. Above all, Isaac served the living God. He made his share of mistakes. He loved Esau more than he loved Jacob. He may have come across as arrogant and macho at times. He was a human being. But he lived and died as the servant of the Lord. He followed God and he dwelt in Mamre. Isaac had a life that was full. People, they want a full life. What do they want it full of? They want it full of money, and they want it full of adventure, and they want it full of this and that. Isaac, his life was full of love. It was full of joy. And it was full of faith in the promises of God. That's a full life. It's full of years, 180 years old. None of us live 180. I've met a couple people over 100, and usually over 100 people don't get around so well, usually. But he lived a nice, full, ripe life according to the promises of God. There was much in his life that was out of his control. Remember, there was an episode about whales, and people wanted to take his whales from him, and he was dealing with that. Specifically, out of his control was his son, that lost man, Esau, and his son, the saved man, who was a jerk. Isaac loved and depended on the Lord. He died in Mamre in the fatness and strength of the Almighty. But notice this. I want you to hear this real good and clear. The Lord didn't take Isaac out of this old sinful world until his purpose with him was fulfilled. He showed Isaac that the promises of God would be fulfilled, and here comes Jacob with these seeds. Can you imagine? I know that God is real, but child of God, we know God is real whenever another child of God makes profession of faith, right? Doesn't that confirm our faith whenever we see another child of God professing the Lord as their Savior? That same God that saved us is still at work and he may be here today. When he saw the evidence that he knew that God would fulfill his promise, but when he saw these children, oh, what a day. When his purpose is fulfilled, when God has fulfilled his purpose in my life with me, there's nothing I can do, there's nothing you can do to stop him from taking me out of this old sinful world. You see, his days were full. Brother Gary and I were talking about Moses earlier. Moses had all his strength at 120. God took him out. Why? It was his purpose. All of us have a day. All of us have a day. This day belongs to all of us at some point. As we remember the life of Isaac, it would be difficult for us to eulogize him again, speaking praise and recognition without giving praise of the high order to God Almighty, who saved him from his sins and gave him a life of faith. This is not a celebration of Isaac, it's a celebration of God. And the celebration of the promises of God. Isaac was just merely clay that was put together that God caused to believe God. Don't you remember in the New Testament that certain men were bragging that they were the children of Abraham, and they were told God could raise up stones unto Abraham? Well, Isaac happened to be that stone. He was that man. He was that child of Abraham. Children of God, we would do well to live and die as Isaac lived and died. And how is that? Believing God. Believing God. There's much that we don't have control over. There's much sin in my life. There's many things that I would like to do over again or do them a different way. But I can't. I can't go back. Can't unring the bell. We're to live our lives trusting and believing God, dwelling in memory. Have confidence that God will have His way. And one day, we will see Him face to face and say, Jesus led us all the way, as we said in that song. Sinner, there's no comfort for you in this. Not in these pages. Not in this text. The day of your death is a day that you are cast into eternal judgment. That's a day to fear. I don't look forward to dying, but there's no dread in for me to see my Savior. I know there are special graces in that dying hour. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. But there's no sinner. There's no comfort for you in death. The best thing that you could ever hope for is while you're still breathing, and you're going to quit breathing one day real soon. It might seem way off, but it's soon. It's soon. You will die. What promises, what land are you dwelling in? Are you dwelling in a land that you're just, who cares? Is that your land? Are you dwelling in the land of make-believe? That maybe God doesn't exist? That maybe hell isn't real? Or maybe God really didn't mean that when He said it? Are you dwelling in delusion and denial that you'll die one day? I've seen graves of all sizes. You will die. There's only one hope in that day. And that one hope is Jesus, the Son of God, that He died in the place of your sins, was buried, and rose again in victory. That's it. That was the hope and fear of Isaac. That, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the one that made his days full. Sinner, I would encourage you to repent and believe the gospel of Christ unto the salvation of your soul. May the Lord bless.